That's the taste of Thirsty Thursday, guys. It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Walkley.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. If you haven't heard of us, check us out.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're on iTunes. You can listen to us there. You can listen to us on Spotify. You can listen to us on French streaming app Deezer, Megaphone, Himalaya.
Stitcher.
Yeah. Sorry. Not to name drop so much. Wow. All right. We're not that conceited, I swear. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Today is Thirsty Thursday. As I said, we're going to talk about who and what we're thirsty for, what we'd like to see a little bit more of, maybe what we'd like to see less of. But we're going to be kicking things off with SI, Sports Illustrated, of course, finished the rest of their top 100 rankings.
Thank the Lord.
If you're not already completely inundated with content about this, we're going to talk about it. So,
oh, yeah. We got some high-ranked guys on there.
We got some high-ranked guys in there. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. And then we're going to be wrapping up today with our daily segment, Shavings.
Oh, yeah.
We're digging around. We're seeing what's good.
It's
we're
packed today.
Yeah, it's pretty packed. A lot of good stuff to talk about. A lot of great fit pics of Kawhi and looking like a Clipper.
Oh, yeah.
Loving it. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Want to give a shout-out to Indochino before we start. Fantastic suits. They're the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout, all cap letters. One word, get a nice suit.
$369 for a made-to-measure, that's an incredible price.
Not bad. All right, so the SI Top 100 final 10 spots were released today.
Great.
Unsurprisingly, we had our guys in there, our two big guys. Paul George came in ranked at number 9, right above Damian Lillard, right below Jokic and Embiid. And Kawhi, number 2, right above LeBron, right below Giannis. They did that on purpose, I firmly believe.
So what are your thoughts on these?
I don't know. Anytime I look at this SI Top 100 list, we talked about this when Beverly was listed. It was like Beverly, and I think Marcus Smart was just below him, and then someone who was a prominent defender was ahead of him. Sometimes it feels like they do like position groupings, and that's how I kind of feel with Jokic and Embiid being directly above Paul George. I feel like they're like, we got to put some skilled centers in here. Let's put these two guys right next to each other. But 9 for Paul George, I don't know. It seems, should be a little higher, I guess. Maybe top 7. You know what I mean? Like,
so
Jokic is so good and Embiid are so good. I just have a hard time comparing a center like Jokic with a player like Paul George. I don't know if that's my fault, but you know what I mean? It just seems hard.
I think that this ranking for Paul George is apt. I thought he was going to fall out of the top 10, which I feel is not apt. But looking at this, I don't know that I would necessarily put Paul George above Dame, personally.
Yeah.
But you know, they both pluses and minuses. I guess the way that I'm interpreting them at this level, at this top 10 level, is it's kind of the overall impact on a game.
And it's for the upcoming season is the other part, which is like such a
which is a total variable
and something they need to make maybe a more abundantly clear.
Agreed, because there's no way, like, there's no way that
you can misinterpret this.
Yeah, you can't, like, truly account for it. But I think that this is pretty good for Paul George. I would say, like, if you're looking at on the impact of a game, I do think that Jokic and Embiid probably have a slightly higher impact on a game as single individual players. But I, you know, all in all, I think that this is good.
When you get to that like 5 through 10 range, it all feels the same to me.
It's very apt for sure.
You're just clearly in that elite tier of guys.
As far as Kawhi at 2, that one to me is a head scratcher.
Just because you'd put him at 1?
I think right now. And obviously, some of this is recency bias. So I guess if you're talking about it like how you stated, like if you're accounting for next season, I could maybe see an argument that you put Kawhi 2. I mean, I think that Giannis obviously has more holes in his game that he could improve that would, you know, like push him ahead for this season.
Yeah, Kawhi is the definite more complete player than Giannis.
Yeah. And so if you're looking at it that way, I guess I can see the argument, but. To me, this is ridiculous. I think that like it's just absurd to me. Kawhi is like the Finals MVP. If he had played the every game. I guess that's what it takes to win the regular season MVP. Yeah. You know, he would have won that as well, I think. I don't know. It's just...
This is the part that they did on purpose for me with the Kawhi right above LeBron and right below Giannis.
I think LeBron... You know,
they did their jobs.
Once again, I'm like still speaking on recency bias and past performance.
Mm-hmm.
I think LeBron deserves two. I think that last season...
So you're putting Giannis three.
...is an outlier. I'm putting Giannis three. I'm putting Giannis... Actually, like, I might put Jokic over Giannis.
Damn!
If we're talking in terms of, like, I think a complete rounded skill set for a player that can impact the game, I see it more from Jokic.
That's fair. My only knock would be Giannis maybe plays better defense, but I think Jokic is a better distributor.
Jokic has improved as a defender, but, like, yeah. I mean, Giannis is
the point
a
is,
better defender of the two.
We had five clips in the top 100.
It's great.
Market
increase.
I believe there was only two last year. I believe it was Tobias and
Gallo,
and that was it. And they were ranked disrespectfully
low.
Yeah. So you brought up a fantastic thing, given that we have two, according to SI, top 10 players in the NBA. Do you think we'll see more iso-type plays this season?
I'm interested. I think that... I think no.
Okay.
But we can't really do much less than we did last year.
Yeah, we really didn't run that much strict.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of my way and let Lou Will do his thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we did
yeah.
sometimes for sure.
Yeah.
Mostly in late game stuff, but not, you know, overall.
Yeah, it wasn't really the biggest part of our offense.
Which I'm so happy about.
Yeah, we were in the bottom half of the league in terms of usage of the of isolation. It was only like 6% of our total offense. We ran isolation plays like 7 times a game.
Wow.
And that's the exact same number essentially as Golden State ran too. So we were both tied for 16th in the league. Definitely in that latter half of teams who use isolation.
That thick part of the league. I feel like it's like you either use it a bunch or never.
Yeah, yeah. And only one team in the entire Pacific Division ran ISO less than us. You want to take a guess?
Lakers.
No, actually, they ran it like 8%. They ran it quite a bit more than us.
Who?
The Suns.
I would have thought they would just run Devin Booker ISOs constantly, but I don't watch very much Suns basketball.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe
for
they
sure.
should.
I mean, that's like what people were clamoring for, is to put him in that type of Harden-esque kind of thing. But I don't know. Anyways, I digress. We were super efficient though in ISO type play. We averaged 0.93 points per possession. Really, really solid. You know, we're scoring almost half the time.
Yeah.
Which is good for 7th in the league, in the 80th percentile. And obviously, I mean, we all know who handled these ISO plays. It was Lou Will. He those were around 9% of his possessions.
Okay.
It's only, like, 2 a game. Like, not a whole lot of true ISO
true
where it's
clear
him.
Out.
Yes, where yeah. there's not a screen assist, where, like, it's him dribbling the ball out and taking his man one-on-one.
It's interesting looking at these stats, because not running something very often and then having a very high efficiency is kind of our MO. You look at our three-point shots, it's the exact same way. Much lower league per like placement than we do with this ISO, but we just wax in that percentage, so we can kind of get away with this efficiencies.
Yeah.
Which sometimes I get a little worried about, but... They've proved me wrong last year.
Yeah, and I think that 9% of Lou Will's total plays being in ISO, that number's got to go down.
It should. I mean, we have
that's just too high for a guy, you know, in his 33rd year of life. that's just, like, that's a little high. And that's just absurdly higher than it needs to be.
And given the kind of shoring up of the bench, that should go down.
Yeah.
Once everything gets hashed out with Shamet on that second unit, that should hopefully go down.
But he is efficient in it. He's in the 71st percentile, so, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a C. Good for a C.
Yeah, low C.
But I was interested because, you know, you look at Kawhi's ISO performance in the playoffs. Obviously, there were times where it was just like, dude, we got to have you get a bucket, man.
Yeah.
Like, we got nothing else, please. You just got to take somebody one-on-one.
Please go on a 10-2 run by yourself.
So with both Kawhi and Paul George, I was interested in seeing how that would possibly swing the isolation play. So I want to take a little look at these guys' numbers. Toronto ran around 7% of their plays in ISO, 8 a game. So they average about one more per game than us, which... You know, it's a number. They were less efficient than us, though. They scored. They scored a lower point. They scored a better point per possession.
By 0.01.
Yes.
0.94 versus 0.93.
Yeah, they had a 1% improvement in points per game. They were in the 84th percentile, so that accounts for, like, right now we're kind of just talking about the total percentage of plays as well as, like, the points happening. But there's other things to consider that this list that I've put together doesn't truly factor in, such as, like, the turnover percentage and one frequencies, things like that. So when we're talking about, like, where you are in the league percentile-wise, that's a better overall kind of just crunching those numbers together stat.
Okay.
And then, so Kawhi, 17% of his total possessions were in isolation. So, you know, he was a big part. He ran most of those ISO plays. He ran about 4 a game, which is half of their total ISOs per game. The other half, I mean, I'm guessing was just most likely Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, it's got to be.
And maybe Fred VanVleet every once in a while. So he averaged 1.05 points per possession. So he is scoring over half the time in isolation.
That's what's up.
I think that number is going to stay pretty consistent. And just for reference for other players, KD scores 1.06. So he's like 1%, you know, he's like 1 percentage point better. And then Harden is a meaty 1.11 points per possession. Which
what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, like, in terms of his usage and the amount of ISO that they run, it's like 23% of their total offensive possessions. Like, that's incredible. But
that's kind of absurd.
That number, that 1.05 points per possession, is very respectable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really solid. I think that we might see more. Like, we might see an uptick of that isolation style offense later in the playoffs. I don't see us relying on it in the season.
Yeah, like, I think it'll be early, before whenever Paul George comes back. We might in, like, a pinch, but not, you know, for a game from Kawhi specifically at full strength.
Yeah, and there's just no need to run ISO when you have guys. And we'll talk more in Thirsty Thursday about the screeners that we have available. And, you know, I could talk for days about the amount of spacing that we have just due to shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of shooters, another guy who runs ISO, Paul George. OKC ran the second amount of isolation plays in the entire league.
That checks out, yeah.
Which, you know, makes sense if you look at the personnel and, like, the limited number of scorers.
For sure. Yeah.
So they ran 9% of their total plays, 11 a game. Like I said, second only to the Rockets. They were kind of inefficient, 22nd in the league.
This is not kind of inefficient. This is absurdly inefficient.
0.84 points per possession, so that's...
This is the opposite of how the Clippers do things. Right here is a great example of how other teams want to run their offense and how the Clippers try and hedge their bets.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit lower. That's more than 10% lower than the Raptors or the Clippers, so not great. Paul George ran that. He ran 4 of those a game. Like, most of this inefficiency is due to Russ. And, like, I don't know, if you like Russ, whatever, but inefficient player. So Paul George ran about 4 of these ISOs per game, scored about 0.92 points per possession, which is okay. He's in, like, the 65th percentile overall. I would say if we're running an ISO late in game, like, just taking all these numbers into account, obviously your 1A is Kawhi.
Yeah.
To score, to get a bucket in ISO. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think something that's interesting, though, is if it comes down, like, if, say, for whatever reason, Kawhi's double-teamed, you need somebody to score in ISO, you can't get a pass off, I think I'm going to Lou Will.
That's what a lot. I think
before I'm going to Paul George, and I don't know. I mean, I think as a Clippers fan and having a bit of a recency bias, I would say that that would have been my instinct before looking at these numbers.
Yeah.
But looking at these numbers just definitely solidifies it, I guess, for me.
Because I asked a poll of Clipper Nation. I was like, who's taking the last shot, Kawhi, PG, or Kawhi? Or, excuse me, Lou. Lou won.
Makes sense.
The poll. Because I think Oscar's a recency bias. But yeah, I think Kawhi, I mean, we saw him do it against the 76ers. We've just seen him do it in the most brutal of situations. He's got to be the 1A. And then I think there's two 1Bs, and I think it's Lou and Paul George for me. I'm happy with either of them.
I guess I'm putting...
At home, actually, I'd rather have Paul George. Away, I want Lou to do it.
Okay. I'm going 1A, Kawhi, 1B, Plus. Lou Will, and 2, Paul George.
That's fair. I mean, hey, it's an embarrassment of riches.
It is. It truly is.
Which is a fantastic thing. Coming up after this, we got even more Thirsty Thursdays. Want to give a shout-out to Locked On NFL. They're taking care of us. We got a Dolphins fan. We got a Ravens fan. You know, not really a rivalry, especially what happened last week, but maybe it'll get there one day. Shout out, Locked On NFL.
All right, so go. My mouth is actually really dry. I'm going to drink water.
All right, keep captioning this Thirsty Thursday. You've put in a bunch of work. I like this one. There was some news. So the reason we're talking about this guy right now, we're going to be talking about Joakim Noah. His dad was on a radio show, Yannick Noah, and mentioned that Joakim will be working out for the Clippers.
Which, I immediately read way too much into this, as I have like a full page of stats will attest to.
Yeah. Shout out at Clippers France on Twitter for breaking this. We saw it from Farbod. He gave them credit. Super good source if you're a French Clippers fan.
Solid. Yeah, I guess for Thirsty Thursday, if this is even real, if we can give any credence to...
We've been toyed with Joe Johnson, which we'll talk about later, but yeah.
To actually working out. I'm thirsty for a Pat and Joe Kim kind of collaboration.
How many minutes a game do you think they'd play together?
8.
I was going to say 6, so that's fair. What do you got for us in this one?
So I was just looking mostly at Joe Kim Noah. As you guys know, all... off season, I've been singing his praise. I've been pretty excited about Joakim. And he's just a great fit for this team. If you look at some of the stats, he's a hustler. He averages 6 contests a game, which is just outside of the top 20 for players with similar minutes. He did play less than 20 minutes last year. But, like, I was looking at these numbers, and I'll give you the asterisks where it
where,
like,
they're needed.
Where they're needed. But if you look at Joakim Noah's per 36 numbers based on last season, it's absurd. So I included none of those, obviously, because it just skews it too much.
That's the Boban effect.
But he is he's also a great screener still. He's 14th in the league in screen assists, 2.3 a game.
Okay.
Which is, you know, really pretty solid. I think that adds an extra wrinkle. I mean, it just depends on who we would use it with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, like, are you favoring some sort of pick and roll or a Noah screen over a Zubat screen or a Trez screen?
I don't think so either. But also, maybe, because it's Joakim Noah?
Yeah, I don't...
He hustles so much, he has stats that I can't even account for.
Yeah, so he, speaking of his hustling, he is in the top 10 in offensive loose balls recovered.
Love it.
With guys with similar minutes. So that's, he's recovering like 0.6 a game, which I'm running up to 1. I'm just kidding. He's recovering 0.6 a game. Like I said, that's good for top 10. The top of the league with guys with this similar, like, you know, a little
minutes
less
area.
Than 20 minutes area is 0.8.
So he's right there.
He's right there.
Yeah.
I guess it's still
hustling, I think, is the key to take away from all
this. Yeah, he's only 20% away from being, like, the top.
Yeah.
So guys with similar numbers, obviously, like Ed Davis, Kevon Looney, are guys that, in terms of loose ball recovery, really come to mind. Like, also, I would list both those guys as hustle guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Davis and Looney, for sure.
Yeah, Looney was, like, trying to play with, like, a caved... I think I'm bleeding out of my chest.
Yeah. And Noah, like, the thing is... Oh, shout out Hoops and Brews, who did a pod about him being a better defender than Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love. And Noah is still an elite defender. When he's able to contest shots, I'll kind of break things down for you on the floor here. Within 6 feet, he's successfully preventing 45% of the shots that he's contesting. The
I'm
numbers,
not mad at that.
The numbers are solid. It's just outside of the top 30. It's pretty close to, and this doesn't account for minutes, but
yeah.
So this is, he's pretty close to Trez in that regard. Jared Allen, Nerlens Noel.
Nice company to be in for a guy who might be your 15th roster spot.
Pretty good company.
The desire is there.
For the 15th spot. Less than 10 feet, he's defending about 40% of them. And that's like on four a game, which is the like percentage-wise, that's better than Clint Capella and Aaron Baines. Both, you know, one obviously a starter. And Aaron Baines, I think, is a great rotational centerpiece.
Yeah, guy who's willing to get dunked on.
But it is in the bottom half of the league among centers. But like I said, this doesn't account for minutes played because
mm-hmm.
There wasn't a filter for that on stats.nba.com for this particular stat. So, it, you know, I still think that's pretty solid. If it's your 15th spot, I don't know what more you're asking for.
Yep.
Now, this is the thing that surprised me the most.
Okay.
When he's defending guys outside of 15 feet and he's able to contest,
mm-hmm.
he's number six in the league. In terms of blocking the shot, when he's contesting outside of 15 feet, he has a 78% likelihood of
blocking the shot.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
If he's contesting it, it's not going in,
dude. That,
it's number six in the league once again.
That's kind of mind blowing. If I'm being honest.
Yeah. There's not another center that's close to these numbers. These numbers are, you know, these are elite. These are elite wing numbers.
I love this, Jerry. This is such a crazy stat.
These numbers are better than AD. They're better than Derek Favors defending on the defending outside of 15 feet. The closest centers to these numbers, like on the wing, are Andre Drummond and Mitchell Robinson, who both are guarding outside of 15 feet. They're preventing 66%.
Okay.
As I said, our dude, Noah, at a healthy 78%. So an over 12% improvement.
What's the sample size?
So sample size, it's not the largest. It's like four attempts per game.
Okay. I'm not sure how much more he'd be doing as our 15th man.
Totally, yeah. Totally. So if, you know, like, it doesn't count for minutes played, like I said, but if his numbers stayed similar, his attempts per game, if he played, say, 25 minutes, would be in the top three in the league.
Yeah.
The amount of times he's contesting this. So it's, even if you account for a regression, I would still wager a bet that he would be in the top 10 in the league in terms of
blocking shots outside of 15 feet.
Yeah, and contesting the number of contests outside of 15 feet. So
I love that stat. I was on board with it now because it's like, it's our 15th guy, and if he's actually working out for us, as opposed to the Joe Johnson fiasco,
yeah,
let's sign him.
No, and there's obviously a couple ways to look at this. Great defender for sure. I could also, I mean, like, obviously there's more to defense than just contesting shots.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more. But in terms of this, I think that I like the matchup. I like the addition of Noah when you look at other centers in the league. And so, you know, like, I think that this is the type of defender that's perfect to take on somebody like a Brook Lopez in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, even though he's declined athletically, he could put up I think it'd be fun to watch him against Embiid.
Ooh,
and then in the Western,
I don't know about that, but yeah.
And then in the Western Conference, I mean, that's just like a perfect foil for if he's guarding AD or JaVale.
I feel like with him, with how he plays, because it's so similar to Beverly with the get under your skin and just like clap in your face and be annoying, I'm fine with him on any center to make them annoyed.
Yeah.
Which I think for guys like AD and Karl Anthony Towns is something that sometimes works. Sometimes it might backfire and they'll go off on you, but I think the most time it works.
Yeah. I think that, like, Noah is a good match for like a Cat type player too.
He'd be somebody who
likes
to,
like, especially if Cat wants to play the outside game a little bit more, it's like with less post ups. I mean, I don't know. I think I was pleasantly surprised with these stats.
These are nice numbers. Should we save these pick and roll for next Thursday? There's a deep dive on here.
Yeah, sure.
Next Thursday we're gonna have, this is a sweet sweet pick and roll Thursday from William the Opinion. I'm talking we'll have next week. Coming up after this, oh, let us know what you guys think about Noah. Apparently, he's on his way to work out. I'm down.
I mean, I feel like we've been down.
We've been down. Except for that like week where we were like, Dwight Howard might be good. And then he bought a purple car to be like Thanos. That is actually true. You can go ahead and look it up. Coming up after this, we got some shavings and, yeah, just rummaging around. All right. Welcome to Shavings.
Hey.
It's Shavings. want to just say this real quick. A picture of Kawhi in Clippers gear at practice was released. Wow.
Praise be.
Wow. I thought he was on the Knicks. Could have sworn he was on the Knicks. Some almost Clipper news. According to Jeff Goodman, the Pistons are close to signing with Joe Johnson. It's been reported by Woj and Shams. This is a weird saga. Saga? Episode? It was reported he was going to work out with us. And then he told Tomer Azerly that he was going to work out with us. Now he's signing a partially guaranteed contract. Dude just wants to hoop, I think.
Yeah.
I think he was taking any deal.
I mean, I think he...
I don't mean that in a bad way. I shouldn't have said it like that.
But. He made it clear that he just wanted to be back in the league.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I don't love it for him, obviously.
I see a lot of people were saying, because I asked, I was like, why not? You know, he had that quote about his career not ending, kind of how he wanted it to and all this stuff. And I guess, I mean, he just wanted more playing time, I'm assuming, if he's going to Detroit.
Yeah.
Because they're not, I don't know how your career ends better on the Detroit Pistons in 19-20 NBA season than it did.
I agree.
I don't mean to be disrespectful towards the Pistons.
I agree. I mean, I think the Pistons are kind of stuck in a hard spot. I mean, they'll make the playoffs again, but...
You brought up a good point before we started, though, about maybe this was the only team that actually offered him something.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's so bizarre to me, this, like, the talk of workouts and stuff. It gets very murky.
Super murky.
So I don't even know that we can... I don't have confirmation on what all teams he worked out with, and certainly don't have confirmation on who offered him an offer sheet.
Yeah.
So I don't think this was necessarily... I still don't think this was necessarily his first choice.
I feel that.
I'm glad that Iso Joe's back in the league. I think he's a interesting-ish fit for the Pistons.
They need some veteran leadership. Him and Blake are going to be great.
They need shooting.
Yeah, him and Blake are going to be great in that locker room, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean,
they need a lot.
I don't think that the locker room is an issue with Detroit. I think the problem is like the lack of shooting, the lack of an elite point guard.
I was going to say, I think when Reggie Jackson's on your team, the locker room might always be an issue. Remember that interview where Blake was trying to talk about how they need to be more serious and Reggie Jackson was like photobombing him? And like,
yeah.
It's like, come on, man, know the room. But yeah, shout out Joe Johnson. What was it, the Great Armadillo?
Something like
some,
that.
Some awesome nickname with Armadillo.
Armadillo Cowboy, maybe?
Yes, I think it was. And finally, Team USA stopped the misery and lost to Serbia, finishing 7th in the FIBA World Cup.
R.I.P. Boston Celtics.
Oh,
R.I.P.
Man. I think the first quarter it was like 34-7.
That's rough. What does this say to you? That this team wasn't that good or that international basketball is just good?
Both.
I would agree.
I think FIBA moved it up on possibly maybe on purpose to make it a more level playing field. I think FIBA's actually pretty bummed out that Serbia is the 6th place team. Because I think that's also just as surprising. As USA getting 7th.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I saw an article in The Ringer saying that the young generation now needs to step up for Team USA. And it's like, not for FIBA. Maybe for the Olympics. FIBA's too close to the season. I just genuinely think it's too close. Like, I don't want any of these guys to be out and be hurt.
I have to agree. You know, we already had like the Tatum scare, which ended up just, you know, not being any sort of serious injury.
Yeah.
And I was glad that they started shutting other guys down once we were out of medal contention.
I know. It's like just that was a great call by Pop, but I don't think it's on the young guys. I sure as hell don't want Zion, Trey, and all these like young, seemingly, you know, torch bearers for the next wave to go out and get hurt against Greece or something like that, where it's like, dude, this is I don't know. It's kind of a parallel asking the younger generation to like catch up for like the older greats of the NBA to play. It's like, well, it's kind of on both. Like, yeah. They said no too.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And I don't know. I guess I've been saying it the whole time, but I'm just like, I'm not that amped on FIBA, and I'm not that amped on it being so close to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
I get that you wouldn't want to go.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like,
I don't know.
It's not as prestigious as sounding as an Olympic medal. I'm not saying in a vacuum it's not as prestigious, but sounding wise,
yeah.
I think maybe some kids, especially kids who kind of grew up watching the second Redeem team, because that's the generation we're at now with young NBA players.
Definitely.
That they're trying to get that gold medal. Melo is looked up to by these guys and has 3 gold medals.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 2 and a bronze, but that, you know, that seems like it's a much heavier weight for those guys.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
I don't know. Would you play on Team USA if they asked you to play in FIBA?
I would not.
I'm only playing if I'm getting 30 minutes a game at center.
Oh, I was going to say opposite. I would go if I didn't have to play at all, and I could just kind of hang out in Europe.
Kick it in a suit?
Yeah.
Maybe an Indochino suit.
Why not?
All right, guys, that about wraps up for us. Let us know what you think about Noah potentially joining the team. The saga of workouts, which might be the most interesting thing happening right now in the offseason.
Yeah, and should we be running more isolation plays with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard?
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
And Lou, obviously.
I think maybe we should. No, I don't know. I just want us to take more threes. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have some Pac Div talk.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a Love, Marry, Kill.
Absolutely.
Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Update.
Thanks.